Sabona. That means hello in Zulu. And South Africa is where I was able to visit this past June. And so Sabona is not just hello, it's I see you. Hello, I see you. But it even goes even further there. I see you. I see you as a person. I see you as value. That was impactful to me. As you'll hear today, and honestly, I could talk for hours, so I have a small amount of time. I'm willing to share more, but you're gonna hear the impact of what happened to me in South Africa and to our team, but then also through the shoebox. And so the first part that I always like to share is why we do what we do. And so as today, you know, transforming children and the communities. That's the vision of Operation Christmas Child, which we talk about all the time. And I realize this because some of us have been here a while, but we have a lot of new people. We talk about OCC. And I know people were like, I have no idea who that is, what that is. But okay. So that's Operation Christmas Child, and it's a ministry of Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse, a lot of people hear about through disaster recovery. They're on the ground right now in Jamaica. They're putting up the satellite hospitals and working with those communities. The vision of Operation Christmas Child is to provide a tangible, so something the child can hold, item to show God's love and transform their life for Jesus, and in turn, the community. And so with that, I want to show you the next piece here, is this is where it comes from. And we hear this a lot, this scripture, but also sometimes we forget what the real impact of that is. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's what Real Life Chapel does, is disciples making disciples. That's what Operation Christmas Child does, is disciples making disciples. And this was impactful to be able to see this, because it's not just Real Life Chapel, it's the church, God's church, universal. And so in our next piece here, what I want to show you, this is the team that I was on. There were 20 of us from the East Coast. And so it was really neat. I was the only one from the Mid-Atlantic South, which is the area we're from. And it was really neat to be able to meet all of these individuals. The gentleman kneeled down in the very front. He is actually our coordinator, if you will, for the area, such as some of you in our ministry who have been around for a little while. Connie Zinn, who is my regional director, has come here. So he's equivalent to her in South Africa. So in other words, he receives the cartons that look like this that are on the tractor trailer. He receives them in South Africa and then distributes them to the churches to distribute to the children. So it's the unwinding of what we've done. And it was really interesting to talk with him. What I found out, because we see they leave our parking lot, they go to Baltimore Processing Center, we get to see the inspection, they get on the into the containers, onto the ship, and that's us. We don't know the other side of it. Well, what I found out, when the ship comes in to the shipyard for him, they go into a storage container, and now they encounter customs. Customs can be a real challenge. There are times the only way it gets through customs, any shoebox, is only by the grace of God. Some of those countries do not want them in there. I've had questions through the years. Why can we not send Soap now is a new one. Why can't we send toothpaste? Those are the two items that we normally get the most questions about. It's because some customs and governments of other countries, they are afraid we are going to poison their people and harm their people, because soap goes on the skin and is absorbed. Toothpaste is ingested. It sounds, here in America, how could we go without soap and toothpaste, right? Believe it or not, we would survive, because I have seen this through them. But what he has shared with us is he has 3 days to move all cartons, or it's going to cost them, in U.S. dollars, $1,000 a day to store them. They don't have those funds to have that available. And so he has to find an army to move them in order to distribute them through those churches. And they travel in many different ways, as you have already seen. But there were two other teams that joined us there. And so one team was from the West Coast. There were 20. My roommate was from the West Coast. So South Africa, it was their winter. And I was like, it was what? I was expecting hot, humid, you know, the whole thing. No, it was cold in my standards. Cold, but it was a dry season, so there was no rain. So I was happy about that part. So it was a 6-hour difference for me. It was a 9-hour difference for my roommate. She really struggled. But then we had a third team, and this was amazing. This team was from a combination of New Zealand, Australia, and South Korea. This was the first year ever South Korea actually distributed shoeboxes. And even last week, I was like, Mark was talking about in South Korea, as far as how the Christianity and the mission and the church was getting started. I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is true. And I got to witness the three of us coming together, 60 people on the ground, working through this. So our outreach that we had, in the next slide, will show our first place we went. Our focus were on the squatters' camps in South Africa. So just to kind of give you an idea, if you were to take, in the U.S., a homeless camp that you can imagine the despair that is in that. Now take it to the fifth degree. And that doesn't even touch what we saw. These are one area that we were able to see. We did not, well, I had one stray who left the group that ended up in a squatter's camp, and needless to say, we were not happy with her for doing that. But we could only see the outskirts, but we got to hear about it. And so most of these households are child-led. Parents are absent. They're on drugs. They're in prison. Mom goes away for a few months. Kids don't know where. She comes back and she's pregnant, has a baby, heads back out. Now the oldest child is now raising that baby. This is continuous. This is the condition. And we do know, yes, this may happen in the U.S., but this is every household there. So when we arrived at the church, I will say, we're on a tour bus. I was surprised by that, because we were in the city and then went out to the outskirts. And so we pull up, and there are kids lined up in both directions around the church. Now, the invitation is by whatever church we're going to. So this one here was Christ Church that we had gone to. And so they went by Christ of the King. And so I was like, this is interesting. How did all these kids get here? The actual church, those members went into the squatters camp and invited children one by one. Now, when they got to the church, they had to have that invitation in order to get in. And so we were like, how'd that happen? They had wristbands, so they knew who should be in there. Because when they see a bus pull up of foreigners, they know we're bringing something, and they want to know what it is. So in the next picture, which actually I believe is a video. Who's So this was the very beginning of our first outreach. Now, before we got started, we saw just an amazing video from Operation Christmas Child. And of course, that is definitely very production. We actually had a production crew going around with us during the outreach. So those are polished videos. What we were informed, you're not gonna see that when you're the boots on the ground. You're gonna see different. So this was our first interaction. We walked in this church, first time they've ever had these kids in there. And so I was like, wow, this is amazing. And if you noticed in that video, there was a young lady who was standing, and then she picked up a baby and took, she leads a household. She's 14, and with her, she had four kids that she was taking care of. And she sat down, and the baby had fallen asleep on her. And I walked over and I'm like, I'm so excited. You know, this is my dream come true. And I take the shoebox over and I hand it to her, and she's holding the baby and she set it down. And she said, where's his? She didn't care that I had just handed her one. She wanted to make sure her brother was taken care of. I was like, oh man, that's huge. And then in the beginning of the video, there was a group up front that was leading in song. Kids are kids no matter where you go. They're antsy, they're jumping around in their seats. I mean, I know a lot of the parents in here are like, oh my gosh, yes, I can relate to that 100%. So they have to get the energy out. So they stand and they sing and do things. But everyone leading that, they were all teenagers, age 15 and above. And so they were discipling those kids by leading them in song. I saw discipling happen yesterday with packing party. I saw some of our older kids who know what's going on and how to pack a box, taking the little ones around. That was discipling younger. You don't have to have a pastoral degree and do that. You're discipling every day. So these are the kids that were sitting there, and it is actually definitely a different experience. This was my selfishness, because I've watched all these videos for hours before, underwhelming event. I was like, okay, this doesn't feel, I got it all in my feels, this doesn't feel like I felt when I watched the videos online. And so I'm sitting there, and all of these kids, the way that Operation Christmas Child, how we handle everything, is I'm there as a bystander. I'm not the one teaching the gospel. The gospel is taught by the churches and ministry partners in that country. Because you know, after I was there an hour and a half, I left and those kids will probably never see me again. So how can they ask me questions about Jesus? How can I make sure they're still following? So they're actually provided the gospel and offered to join and accept Jesus. And we give them this little booklet, so I did get to hand out the little booklet, and it's called The Greatest Gift, because guess what? Jesus is the greatest gift. These kids were so excited. It's like a comic book. It's beautifully artistry in there. And it is amazing. The kids thought that was the gift. And then we unveil, and we're like, actually, we have one more gift for you. And at this point, this is when the kids have gotten this. Now, they are told, do not open the box. Okay, these are kids, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, there's no way. They sat, and they waited for that countdown. And then they opened. And then these are the faces of this first group that I got to see. And the one little boy that I'll point out the most is in the top right-hand corner. He put those glasses on. Kids are kids no matter where you go. Because the girls sit on one side, boys on another. All the boys around him made fun of him. Kids are kids wherever you go. But we were there, and we said, let me show you something. Guess what? It flips on. Now they light up. You know, he was the superstar at that point. All those boys wished they're looking to see if they had one of them, a pair of them now. So keep in mind when we're doing shoeboxes, we don't know what the impact's going to be and what that child needed. He felt ridiculed sitting there. But then God used it And now he had a group of friends that were working and packing. The smiles, that is the biggest thing that I love to see. So in our next, this is the one that hurts. Whew. These are the kids that didn't make it in. This was hard. When we walked outside and we see all these children outside of the gate. Crime is extreme there. In photos, you'll see everything is gated. We had security traveling with us as well. They weren't able to get in there to receive that, hear about Jesus, and receive whatever we were given. Those who were invited came in, but the others, they may have been in another camp that was maybe too dangerous to walk into. But word got out, we were there giving something away. So if there were any adults there, they sent them to go get whatever it was. Here's the good part. That's the hard part and the sad part. The good part is, those are the kids that get them next year. The mission of Operation Christmas Child is one child, one shoebox, one lifetime. Because we want to reach as many kids as possible. So the kids who got them this year, next year, they should be the ones sitting in there. In that event, we were expecting to give out about 175 shoeboxes. We gave out 240. That's how many kids were packed in there. We carried extra that he came on the flight with us. We had extra on the bus to help with that. So that was our first event. It was really kind of underwhelming at first. But then as I started to learn more, and we all were talking on the bus, we're on for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and talking about what we saw, oh, it was amazing. Because that was the first time ever those doors were open to those kids. And that was a huge impact. We got to be part of watching this happen. So on our next slide here, this was our next event we did the next day. And it's cold. They are bundled up. Horse and buggy in this area that we were in. There are some vehicles, and the vehicles that were there are actually the pastors and ministry partners in that church. So this one here was a little interesting because when we got inside, on the next slide, this is what we were greeted with. So with that, this is a different experience by far, because here we walk in, the kids were waiting for us to perform. We were the highly honored guest that were coming to visit them that day. They actually had chairs set up front for us to sit. We were treated like royalty. And I'm like, I'm just here. You know, I'm just here on the side. But these kids were dancing, and what they were singing was, "We dance and we dance for Jesus." And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Now, some of my Jamaica friends aren't here, but I'm gonna ask the ones that are my Jamaica friends, what is we're supposed to be hollering and praising what? What do we yell?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, here, you, yee-yee-yee-yee. We learned that one, so sorry, Mark. I just taught everybody something fun. But I don't know, this church, we have a tough time saying hallelujah, much less yee. So here you go. So it was amazing. These kids performed for us nonstop. And before we shared the gospel, after we shared the gospel, it was amazing. This was the videos I watch all the time. Raw, but these were the videos that I saw. So in the next one, this is actually the gospel presentation, and I have the privilege, I have one upstairs, I keep it locked away, of having one of these displays. They're about this big, but it shares who Jesus is and who God is, and it starts with creation, and you can see bright colors. And it goes through the whole portion, and the kids are engrossed. And a leader walks them through it and tells the story. Now, in the middle of her conversation, you'll get to meet her in a second, she was talking, and all of a sudden it went silent, but her mouth was going. Well, they have no electricity in this building, but they had a generator outside that her microphone was hooked up to, and the generator died. So you should have seen the mad rush of people out trying to get that generator back on, and all of a sudden we could hear her again. But this was her very first time ever sharing the gospel ministry. She had received a shoebox herself when she was 12 and had gone through the discipleship program and is now leading children in this church. And it was amazing. I will say she messed up one piece, but that's okay. She had 20 people from corporate sitting there watching her give a presentation for the first time. Can you imagine how overwhelming that was? But at the same point, she did amazing and recovered very, very quickly. So in our next one.
Please forgive me.
Forgive me.
I believe
that Jesus.
After she presents, the children are led through a prayer. And this little girl, she caught my eye right away when I got there. And then when she started praying, I mean, she is all in. And we hear, we're to come like children to Christ. Come as a little child. And I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, to be that free and just all in. And so as we're going through this, it was amazing to see all of these kids. Now, as you notice, it was in English. And so specifically this church, this one is in the what we would consider poverty, poor, but they were also wealthy because these kids actually could go to school. And in school, they learn English. And in this church, the gospel is only taught in English. And so it was really interesting to me because I was expecting Zulu the whole time and not being able to understand a word they're saying. But there were times that it was both being spoken. So in the next picture, this is just smiles. This was when they actually caught me, the photographer from Operation Christmas Child, being able to give these out. And I will say, everyone's like, I don't know who's smiling bigger, you or the kids. And it was true, because I was like, oh my gosh, I actually have the honor and privilege of doing this. And the bottom left, that's Grace. That is the young lady who shared the gospel with the children at that time. But you can see all the ages and the faces. And most of the, I had nearly 1,000 photos that I had taken, so I just gave you a few here. But it was amazing to be able to be part of that and have these kids see and hear. And so we gave out the pamphlets. And then we had this huge table of boxes, and we actually held onto the drape, and then we did a countdown, and then uncovered. And the kids just yelled. They had no idea what it was, but they yelled, and they thought it was amazing. So in our next one is the video of them counting. This little girl in the Mickey Mouse sweatshirt, I don't know if you caught it. She pulled something out and stuck it under her leg. She's sitting on it because she didn't want someone else to take it. Again, kids are kids. But this little girl that was sitting beside her in the white polka dot, you know, Dalmatian coat. When I had gotten there, I noticed her right away. She was on the front row. And because when I was a kid, my grandmother had made a coat that looked just like that for me. And then I passed it on to my daughter. And so it was just that impact. In the boxes, as we were going through, there was personalized letters on the top. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, somebody, they actually packed and wrote personalized letters. It was all that we were giving out that day was from Pennsylvania. A church in Pennsylvania had packed all of them. And so there were flyers in there and had their address and had kids who had written things. So it was amazing to be able to see, oh my gosh, this is from our area. Guess what that meant? They came out of Baltimore. I was like, Baltimore in the house, you know? I was like, okay. So it was great. It was so much fun to be able to be part of that. Again, this was the videos that I had seen and seen that impact of these kids. So in our next one, when we went to leave, they danced us out. They were dancing. Some of them have their shoeboxes in hand. Others left them because we were more important, because we had bought Jesus to them and were showing the love of Jesus with this small token of this box. And that's what I shared as little kids were opening it in those letters. Because we had to ask permission to take photos. We would have to ask the kids, and if there was an adult with them, if we could do that. And I was telling them, I was like, these people, or this person, this family, they love you so much that Jesus had them pack a shoebox for you to send you this. And they're like, really? They don't know me. I'm like, no, but Jesus does. And their face lit up. And so it was amazing to see that. So this group, they danced us right out. I mean, literally the gate was closing. One of the gates actually closed on the bus. So we actually got a little damage to the bus one time. They were a little aggressive closing. But they danced us all the way out. So again, we've seen the videos of the kids running and dancing and having a good time. So in our next one, this was a different event. This one was the one that made the most impact, to be honest on me. This one was hard. We were on Yellow Mountain. They don't have a church. Yellow Mountain has three levels of mountains here. It is actually old abandoned gold mines. And squatters' camps are on these levels. So the church we had visited the day before, who had us chairs and honored guests and everything, they actually went and put together a canopy so that we would not have to sit out in the sun while we were there. When we walked up, oh my gosh. You know, we talk about organized chaos. No, this was sheer chaos that was going on with this one. So in our next one, you'll see we had to hike up the mountain from the bus, and this are the two different camps that we could see of where these kids were coming from. The third camp, we couldn't. That's where a lot of the criminal activity and those who we could not invite. So we're sitting there and walk up, and I will say it's Yellow Mountain. I'm talking neon yellow dust. Like our shoes were stained, our clothing, everything. And we walk up and there's just old blankets, carpeting, everything along the line that the kids are sitting on, which you'll see in the next slide. They're all sitting on, it looks almost like AstroTurf concept. They're sitting on the ground and then all the adults are sitting in chairs behind them. And they're like, this is too chaotic. We can't give out the shoeboxes like this. So all the adults were informed, stand up, bring your chairs up. The kids have to be in this chair. So that's how they were monitoring. You know, previous ones, they had wristbands. This one, if you were sitting in a chair, you got a shoebox. So on the right-hand side, you can see once they got in a chair, there were three people in a chair. They would be a cheek and a cheek and, you know, and everybody piling in. And again, adults were part of this process, but they found out we were giving something away. So they started sticking kids in between kids and saying, hey, just sit down real quick. Or they would switch kids out. That was interesting. But these kids, they were amazing because they listened, they were part of it. This was the first time the entire gospel was shared in Zulu. But then there was interpretation. The leader was able to speak English as well, so she shared it in Zulu, then she shared it in English. So it was a little bit longer presentation by the time it was done. So in our next one, these are some of these faces. These took a huge impact on me. The boy on the far right, he did not sit with everyone else. He wouldn't even move to a chair. He sat back here by himself. But this was after she had shared the gospel and they were praying. And he sat there right in front of me and just prayed and cried. I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be sitting here for a reason to see this. And then the little girl on the left, the photo she's holding is an entire church from Pennsylvania again that had actually packed the shoebox, and they had their address and everything on there, and the leadership is sending photos and acknowledgement to them from to that church. Two different extreme experiences that these two kids had. The little boy on the top in the middle, he reminded me of my kids, the kids in here, and my kids when they were little too. He was so excited, he opened his shoebox and he pulled out this monster truck, still in the packaging. He closed his shoebox, he took the truck in the packaging and running it back and forth across the top. And I was like, do you want me to open that? He said, no, my mom do. No problem, I'm not gonna step in mom's way. So then he kept doing it. I said, are you sure you don't want me to open that? He said, no, my mom do. I said, okay. So then a little later, he was dancing, and he was running around before we left, and he had one of those noisemakers that I actually took a video of him and sent it to Ted. Of course, he's trying to see if he can find it, but he has one in the sound booth. That's why I'm like, I forgot to tell him I was going to do this. But he had one of those hand clackers. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, is that your favorite? He said, oh no, my big truck is. And I was like, is your big truck unwrapped yet? Because once you do that, it's really going to be cool. But as Charlotte was sharing earlier, taking it out of the packaging is huge. Because right away, he could have actually rolled it and really seen how exciting that was. The other part is, all that garbage just got thrown on the ground. There's no trash collection there. I have photos that garbage is probably 3 feet deep, and it's a whole field. And we think of, you know, landfills, dumps. It wasn't even that. It's just where they lived because their house was right beside it. And their house, when I say a house, in the squatters' camps is about, if you have a really fancy one, it's galvanized steel, about 6x6. And that's multiple people living in there, maybe a bed on the floor. There's the dirt. But I will say, the little boy on the bottom, his name's Emmanuel. And he came up, and I was like, what's your name, Emmanuel? I was like, oh, you're perfect. And he was crying. And I'm like, oh gosh, what's wrong? Because where I went, because kids are kids wherever you go, what's wrong with your box? You know, that's where I went, what's wrong? And he opened it up. And this is why yesterday was so important. When we got to, there were no more school kits on the table, and we stopped. Even though there was tons of stuff still left, he opened it up and he said, I got school supplies, I can now learn, because I can't in school. I don't have the stuff, but now I do. And as I was looking, I'm like, you know, I'm crying hysterically with the little boy at the same time, and we're hugging him. And I looked, and he had pencils and crayons. And the other piece that really got me, that I was like, we probably don't think about sending these, is flashcards. He had flashcards in there of, you know, for phonetics. You know, we're doing the phonics of A is for apple and B is for ball, and that's what he had. He said, I can learn my English better. It's like, oh, he had math flashcards, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to go well. He's not going to know. No, he learns math, English, American math. I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So do keep that in mind, that if you're going through the store and you're thinking, I don't know, God uses it. If you're looking at it and you're thinking about picking it up, just grab it. God will use it for any reason. So he was a huge impact of me realizing, as much as we say, we have to have them, we have to have them, we have to have them, we do, because we don't know what's happening in these kids' households. So he was able to actually go to school with pride. Another piece that I found out as I'm talking with some of these girls that are a little bit older. So at the packing party yesterday, some people may have been like, why on earth are there underwear everywhere out here? One of our older girls, 14, pulled out underwear, and for others, sanitary pads too, and said, I can go to school in dignity now. So needless to say, every box I'm doing this year has underwear in them, because we take things like that for granted. And Charlotte, when the other night when we were setting up, she goes, somebody donated packs of sanitary pads. I'm like, send them in the 10 to 14 year old boxes. Send them in those girls. Because what I found out, they need it, because they don't have that opportunity. So this one was really impactful. And as we're standing there, all of a sudden security says, we need to get to the bus now. Well, of course, this is when one of our strayers ended up in one of the camps and we couldn't find her. Someone said, come see my new house. And she went. She was a photographer. She got some great photos that we all stole. So that was great. But we're like, we need to stay together. Well, what was happening? We got down to the bus and we found out that the third camp heard we had stuff and they were coming. And unfortunately, as we were going down, the kids were leaving. Families were running behind us to leave as well, because those kids were going to have their stuff taken away from them too. So we were having a good time. We were having fun. But we also got to realize what these kids deal with every single day, if they got anything. The church who would put up that canopy, they actually go and provide rice and beans every Sunday. That's the one meal everyone's guaranteed. So after they had the shoebox, they got their meal, and then we had to leave abruptly. So our next event we did was the Greatest Journey. So that's our Disciples Making Disciples. This is a 12-week lesson. In our mind, we say 12-week program. It's actually a 12-lesson program. We were in June, and so a lot of schools were getting out. So the kids were actually invited, come back tomorrow for Vacation Bible School. We're going to do a lesson every day. So right away, they were feeding into those kids and grooming them up to be disciples. So we got to go into this looking at that lesson that they were doing. And they were doing the Good Samaritan. And it was so cool, because I was watching and I was like, oh, Pastor Mark would be so proud of them, because they acted it out. They had them come up, and I didn't find out till afterwards, it was brothers. The one had beat the other one up and left him. So it was really funny to see how they did that, and then someone coming along and helping. But they had the scriptures memorized. Now they're simplified. They're not the long verses that we see in here. But they were simplified for a child. Do you know, so much more clicked to me hearing them recite verses simplified. I was like, oh, that never hit me that way before. And then they prayed. And I loved this picture because their hands are raised. Again, worshiping like a child. Again, we have challenges with that sometimes. Is anybody looking at me? Raise my hand. Close your eyes. That's what the kids did. And it was amazing to see how they are growing, because this is the generation that's going to teach the next ones. And it's going to continue that wonderful cycle. So in our next slide here, these are graduates of the discipleship program. They share their testimonies. The one on the far right, she is escaping. She has not yet. She's in process of drug abuse in her home, being sold. I'll leave it there, because I know there may be some kids in here. And so she's getting out of that because of the love of Christ. And she has a church family who's now protecting her. The other is actually planning to go to college. And she had never thought she could ever do that. But she had received a shoebox that had school supplies. And she learned, and she grew, and she is now headed to college. The one on the left, very young. She has just turned 15. So she had gotten a shoebox the year before and has graduated and cannot wait to teach all the other kids. And the funniest thing, we keep talking about teaching all the kids. They're teaching the adults too, because the adults are not sitting in that room. They may be on the outskirts, but they're not listening. They're waiting to see what those kids got in their shoeboxes. But when the kid goes home and they have that pamphlet that talks about Jesus, then they're starting to share. When they graduate from this program, they actually get their Bible, an actual New Testament Bible that's in their language, and so that they can read it. And what we find out is, because it's left sitting around, the parents are reading it. What is this thing? And they'll pick it up and they'll start reading it. It's amazing. This one shoebox that one of you may have packed yesterday, prayed over it, and has gone, will touch these kids and these families in this way. And this, this was the greatest journey. At the end of it, they called us all up on stage, the 20 of us, and they put a blessing on us. We were like, "You're blessing us." They're like, "No, you have blessed us so much. If it wasn't for you and your ministry and your passion and what you do, we would not know Jesus." And so this was, and of course, you know, all of us with our digital pieces, we're all up there praying, and we're snapping photos, you know, as they're all praying for us to get the screenshot. But it is amazing. These kids, they had no concern. Hands raised. They're praying. They're yeeing. They're hallelujah. They're amening. I was like, oh, again, to worship like a child. So in our next one, and this is where I'll end. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, not everybody gets to go to South Africa to do it. Not everybody gets to go to Jamaica. But you live in this community. You left your house today to come here. So you are a disciple out there. So keep in mind, God may be speaking to send you somewhere. It might be to a mom's group. I won't call people out, but I heard yesterday someone being introduced as my spiritual mom. And I was like, oh, that spiritual mom was sent to someone in this church. And we forget about that, that this is also our mission ground to each other, to your neighbor, those around you, people at work. But then also, you may have the opportunity to travel. You know, we say NACA all the time, so the Native American Christian Academy. I will say, one thing I found out, because that reservation, the Navajo reservations in Arizona and Alaska, are third world countries in the U.S., and shoeboxes have actually gone to them. And that is amazing, yet sad, also in the same respect, that those kids are so desolate there. So God may be sending you some way. somewhere, if you feel him tugging on you for something, listen to it. Ask someone to pray for you. You know, ask questions. I'm available anytime. Today you may be like, oh, I want to do something, but I don't know what. That's fine. Pray on it. Ask me. Talk with me. It may be something else within the church that you're going, I need to do something. I know Mark is going to be open to talk with you. Anybody in here that you feel comfortable talking with. So with that, I'm going to have the praise team come on up, and they're going to finish up with a song. And I was like, this is perfect. Because the only way that God can send you to do things, you have to make yourself available. Because I think we're all very, very busy, and we all have a lot going on in our lives, and that can derail us, and I'm very guilty. I'll be honest, I'm very guilty of it. But we have to remember, he can't send us if we're not available. And so I want to leave you with that, and thank you for this time. It's, again, I'm pulling it down as close as possible as I can, and but there's so much more, and how much that impact is having for everyone. So I thank you for your time.
My